For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, August the 31st, 2001. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Dr. Bill Nell, Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the afternoon.
One of the things that you know, when you teach a lot, you accumulate lots and lots of notes. You know, I got about 15 notebooks like this. And God won't ever let me teach the same thing the same way. I can't get my notes from last month or last year out and do them again. I've got to sit down and write them all out again. Today I was going to, I really wasn't sure what I was going to talk about. Because I just couldn't get anything from God. You know, I can teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But I don't know what God wanted me to talk about. So today we're going to talk about the fruits of deception, fruits of rejection. Now, I talked to the men this morning, and I gave them some scripture on rejection. But today I want to talk mostly about the fruits of rejection. How does rejection manifest in your life? What does it feel like to be rejected? Because rejection is your birthright, and rejection is the door through which so many things have entered you and entered your ancestors and come down to you through your ancestors. And so let's talk a little bit about it. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. So let's look at the fruits. Let's all stand up. Jesus. 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 Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Lord Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord God. We just ask you to anoint this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Pour your spirit out into us, Lord God. Pour your spirit of wisdom and understanding into our hearts, Lord, that we can hear you, Lord God, and hear your word, Lord. It'll go down into our heart, Lord, and we'll bring forth a crop 30, 60, or 100-fold. Lord, we just ask that you, for your divine guidance now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to touch us with your spirit. Enlighten us, Lord. You said we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You said that your words, they are spirit, they are truth. Lord, let your words come forth today, Lord. The spirit and the truth, Lord, that will set your people free. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Rejection. You know, John talked about Noah Webster yesterday. Do you know why Noah Webster wrote the first dictionary in the early 1800s? He wrote the first dictionary so people could understand the words in the Bible.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, the dictionary was written so that people could understand the Bible. Noah Webster also has a translation of the Bible, Webster's translation of the Bible. He was a good Greek scholar, and most of our words have Greek and Latin and German meanings, and Old English meanings. And so he was an excellent Greek and Hebrew scholar and Latin scholar, and he translated the Bible from the original transcripts, and he also wrote a dictionary so that you could understand what the words in the Bible mean. Now, rejection, you know, I've had a lot of people argue with me about the Bible, but I've never had anybody argue with me about the dictionary.
No.
What is rejection? Okay, let's look at the word reject. Reject means to refuse to take account, to refuse or to take or see, to use. You refuse something. You're not going to take that. You're not going to use that. You're not going to accede to that. Eve didn't accede to God's command not to eat the fruit. She rejected that command. Okay. To discard, to throw away as worthless, useless, substandard, cast off or cast out. How many of y'all ever felt that somebody made you feel useless or worthless when they spoke to you? Perhaps you offered an idea. And they said, where in the world did you get that idea? Who ever told you to do such a thing as that? And then this rejection settles into you to make you feel useless or stupid or unworthy. And then to rebuff, to deny acceptance or love or so forth. In other words, to withhold love is to reject. How many of y'all have ever rejected your children by withholding love from them as a means of discipline? If you want me to love you, then you've got to obey these commandments. You've got to be a good little boy. That's nothing to have nobody with me, huh? Okay. Now, that is rejection. Now, I said to the men this morning that rejection was your birthright. It's in Scripture. Your rejection is your birthright. It's in Ezekiel 16 where he's talking to Jerusalem. Now, you all know that Jerusalem is the bride, the new Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. I'll show you the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ coming down. You're the bride of Christ. So you're the new Jerusalem. And he said, to want Jerusalem to know her birthright. Your nativity was from Cana, which means to be rejected or despised. And it goes on. It's a very interesting, I won't go into that scripture now, but it's Ezekiel chapter 16. You know, I looked for a scripture on rejection for years. And that's the scripture that I found that described rejection and made me understand rejection. Up until that point, I had read all these other people. And then I heard Frank Hammond talk about the schizophrenic revelation. And he talked about rejection. And he related back to Adam and Eve rejecting God. And that was part of what God showed me. I said, you know one thing about God? There's no private revelation. You get a revelation from God, you can be rest assured 50 other people got it too. You notice there's no private interpretation of the Bible. It says in 1 Peter said that scripture, there's no private interpretation of prophecy, no private interpretation, because God will give it to you, he'll give it to 50 other people. He's not a respecter of persons. Okay, how does a rejected person feel? There are many symptoms associated with rejection. And what I want to talk to you today about is how rejection affects you and how you feel. What are the fruits that rejection will bring forth in your life or the life of people you're ministering to? How does rejection affect them? Now, we said that rejection is to withhold approval, to withhold love and acceptance, and this can give you a feeling of being abandoned. Now, there are a number of reactions that can occur. Now, the first general reaction that will occur when you are rejected is that you will withdraw and turn inward. And these things will come into you. If you allow that spirit of rejection to come in, then these things will come in. Okay? The first thing is that if you're in a group and you put forth an idea, and someone rejects that idea, then you'll say, they don't like me. You'll feel unworthy and unwanted. Now, if you withdraw, I'm just going to go over here in the corner and eat worms and die. And so, you get into self-pity. You put forth your idea. Or someone puts forth their idea in a meeting and it's not accepted, And that person will withdraw and begin to feel sorry for themselves and withdraw over in the corner, and they'll be lonely, a loner. You see somebody who's a loner, somebody who's always by themselves, somebody who is self-sufficient and says they don't need anybody else. That's a rejected person. That's a person who is withdrawn. Now, they can either withdraw and they can go down and feel sorry for themselves. They can say they're going to go over in the corner and just eat worms and die because they just ain't, you know, nobody loves them, nobody cares for them. They're just not any good, and they just can't ever do anything right. Every time I try, something bad goes wrong. And so self-pity comes in. And self-accusation comes in. And self-degradement comes in. And these people, they just feel worthless and unloved and unwanted. But sometimes when they withdraw like that, they will, pride, ego, and vanity will come in. And they say, well, I've been rejected. There must be some, he must be jealous of me. And he just doesn't like me. The other person will say, well, I'm going to do everything right. They're not going to be able to reject me again. So I'm going to keep all the rules just right. I'm going to become the super Christian. And I'm going to do everything perfect. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to be perfection. I can keep all the rules. Then by gosh, they can't criticize me. You know? And I can pick holes in them. See? And I can be. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. And I can find fault with them. I can be impatient with them. I can be intolerant of anybody else that's not perfect like I am. I can get frustrated with them because they're just not doing it right. And then I can get angry. And so when you see somebody that's a perfectionist, they do everything right. And they study real hard. And they got theirs down perfect. And they keep asking you, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Well, if you just do it this way, it'd be okay. And they can find all kind of faults with the way you should have done it. And then it'd been all right. And I just don't understand what's wrong with you. Why can't you get this? Now, that's, you know, it's terrible if you got a boss like that who's been rejected. And they can suck all the self-esteem out of you in about 10 minutes. Some people like that. And they have a difficult time keeping employees. They just can't understand why these employees just quit. And so, we've talked about the loner. There's a person who withdraws and becomes a loner and says, you're not going to hurt me again. And so you've got this person over here who's alone, and he has an impaired trust. He can't trust anybody. He won't open up because he's opened up before and he's been hurt. And therefore they have an inability to give or accept love. They have an inability to give love, and they have an inability to accept love. These are good, hard-working men. They work real hard. They're the strong, solid type. And if you get someone who needs the father figure to lean on, and then they understand why they can't establish a relationship, because he doesn't establish a relationship because he's been hurt before, and the walls go up around him. And he has impaired trust. He can't trust anybody. Can't trust God. Can't trust his wife. Can't trust himself. And the problem is that he's been rejected. And you need to tear the walls down. And those walls sometimes take time to come down. You need to, that person needs to know who he is in Jesus Christ. That he's not a rejected child. He's not an unloved child. That Jesus loves him. That God loves him. And only when God's love can you get him touched with God's love will the walls begin to crumble from within. And you begin to pull them down. You're pulling on one side and he's pushing on the other. The walls will come down. And so you got the loner. And then you got have the fantasizer, the person who will withdraw into fantasy. He gets hurt and he just sits there and daydreams and thinks about what he should have said. What might have been. William Wordsworth wrote the poem called The Reapers, I think it was. And the rich man was riding down the lane. He saw this beautiful young cuss out there, and she was reaping in the fields. And he thought about how it would be to have been married to her and live in this idyllic setting. And he ends the poem by saying the saddest words of tongue and pen is it might have been. We wrote a sequel to it, and we said the saddest tongues of the words of tongue and pen was it shouldn't ought have been. It didn't end very well. But fantasy, I'm sure that none of y'all have ever done this, but sometimes when you've been rejected and you've lost an argument or you've been rejected and you've been hurt, then you sit down and think of what you should have said. What I should have said, how I should have answered that. Or what you should have, or what you going to do to show that person. What you going to do, what you going to do that then they won't reject you again. And you think about how you're going to make all this money, and you're going to be the big boss. Or how you're going to get promoted and you're going to be the big boss and they're going to be the... And they won't reject you then. Then they'll respect you. But you... And these people will live in these air castles. It is said that the neurotic builds castles in the air. The psychotic lives in them. And the psychiatrist collects the rent off of them. And so when you find yourself living in fantasy, now that is a type of self-gratification. And lots of people will do various things that aren't scriptural or sexual self-gratification, which is impossible to do unless you fantasize. Lots of people will respond to rejection through self-gratification, through sexual self-gratification. You all understand what I'm saying in a polite term. I'm using a polite term for masturbation. And so you find people that will, and they will live, and they will come to their co-workers with these elaborate schemes on how this is going to be done and how things are going to grow and so forth, and they have no practical application. But they're always putting themselves in the center of it. And sometimes when they're rejected, they just feel guilty about it. The devil will convict them. That little voice will come in their ear and say, you shouldn't have said that. That was the wrong time. You should have waited till next week. Your timing was off. And then you feel unworthy. You missed your chance. Why, if you just waited till next week, it would have been the proper time. And so guilt sets in, unworthiness sets in, depression and suicide. And so you can go in this downward spiral. And you have to understand, this is not a one-time occurrence. This thing goes around and around and around. You get rejected. You feel guilty, you feel unworthy, you feel unloved, unwanted, and the next time you get rejected, it hits you again, and the circle goes deeper and deeper, and the demons will come in and layer themselves, and they'll group together in groups and become stronger. And you, if you live in fantasy, and you live in this fantasy, and this fantasy demon comes in, and you live in this fantasy, that after a while you become deceived, and you don't know what the truth is anymore. And you find that you'll be tearing yourself apart, that you will live in the fantasy more than you live in the real. And the fantasy becomes you. And that's the reason it's called schizophrenia, or splitting of the personality. After a while, you've lost so much, the demons will steal part of your soul. Did you know that the demons could steal part of your soul? Now, what is your soul? Your soul is your mind. It's your intellect, your will, and your emotions. And the demons can steal part of that. Why else would God say, I'll lead you beside green pastures and still waters and restore your soul? Why did David say their soul has been ravaged by a lion? And then numerous others. Sister Coffey's an expert on the soul. Sister Coffey's an expert on the soul. She's going to give us a talk in October on the tattered, on restoration of the tattered soul. Okay. But this is the beginning of being torn away from reality. Now, these are the inward signs that come into you. Now, lots of people, one of the things that happens when these come in, you accuse yourself. That's when the spirit of self-accusation will come in. And you will hear people say, well, I'm just not very good. I'm just getting what I deserved. Yeah, you know, I don't deserve any better than this. I've just sinned so much. I've done this and that. And you sit and you listen and they'll give you a litany for an hour about all the sins they've done the past 20 years without you even asking. And that's called the demon of self-compulsive confession, which goes with self-accusation. And it's a way of attracting attention, in other words. But it comes in with self-accusation. And it's a fruit of rejection. Now we've said that rejection is a denial of love, a withholding of love. Now what happens when you withhold love? If you withhold love, if people perceive, you know, you don't have to withhold love. If they just perceive and believe you withheld love, that's rejection. All they have to do is perceive that that's what happened. The devil can lie to them, and they can take it as rejection. They turn to the world for love. And what does the world have for love? Lust. Lust. Well, as John says, there's the lust of the eye, 2:14 or 1:14? He says, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Well, let's look at the lust of the eye first. And I've heard these interpreted a lot of different ways, and I look at it with the lust of the eye. Well, you've got the young lady who's been in the meeting where she's gotten rejected. And she's going to say, well, I just don't look very well. That's the reason he rejected me. You know, I'm going to get enlarged a little bit so that I'll look a little bit better. And she dresses a little more provocatively. And a seductive spirit, a sexual spirit of sexual seduction comes in. And she comes in always dressed very provocatively. Or maybe she goes, has a breast enlargement. Or in South America, they do a lot of hip enlargements, a lot of buttock enlargements. They do more buttock enlargements in Brazil than they do hip enlargements. I mean, breast enlargements. Or you can have men who decide that they are sort of coming a little so they'll get to... How many of y'all watch the thing on TV where they show all these men, you know, and they're fixing their hair and they're going to spending thousands of dollars to have hair replacement done? Rogon first came out, it cost $250 a month to buy the medicine. And then you had to go to the dermatologist once a week, and then you had to have all kind of medicine and all kind of lab work done to make sure it wasn't affecting your liver. And all told, it cost about $350 a month for Rogan. And you could never stop taking it once you started. If you ever stopped, it would just all fall out, you know. And I looked at all this, and I talked to the dermatologist, this lady. I said, surely you don't have many men who spend that kind of money to keep their hair from falling out. And she said, you'd be surprised how many vain men there are in this world. I mean, there are a lot of vain men that don't want the hair to fall out. And those who've got it falling out, they go put toupees and have hair transplants and all sorts of things. Why are they doing this? Because of rejection. They just feel if they look a little bit better, they won't be rejected. Okay? Why do women dress so seductively and have all this, these facelifts and transplant surgery and enlarged hair and tucked in hair and pushed out there? Which is extremely expensive, dangerous, because they've been rejected. The spirit of rejection is moving in them, and they're turning to the world to get this love. They feel they've been denied, and they feel if they just look better, they get love. Y'all see all this? And so it's the lust of the eye. Well, praise your name. Some people will buy new cars, big new cars, buy a big house, buy big hunting lodge, big gun, big fish up on the wall. Anything that will impress, they think will impress other people when they see it, that will make them accepted, one of the crowd. And that's the lust of the eye. Now, the lust of the flesh. These are people that are narcissistic. Now, you can put this either in the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. Now, a narcissistic person who thinks only of themselves, they're self-indulgent. Everything centers on them and their happiness, and they're getting their goodies. And they can't think about anybody else but themselves. And they feel like if they just get that, then they'll be okay. Because they've been denied. And so they get the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is overindulgence, self-indulgence. Well, that's people who overeat, overdrink, smoke cigarettes, come into all kind of bondages. Now, we will see that springs at an outward sign. It comes in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and it will come out as rebellion. And we'll talk about the fruit of it coming out in a few minutes. But Deuteronomy says that alcoholism and gluttony are the results of stubbornness and rebellion. I said that one day, and one lady came up and asked me if I'd please anoint her toes. And I said, what's that for? She said, well, you stepped all over them today. But it says in Deuteronomy chapter 21 that if you have a rebellious son, you take him to the elders and say, this thy son is a rebellious child. He will not hear the voice of his mother or father. He is stubborn and rebellious. He is a drunkard and a glutton. And they'll take him out and stone him. That's Deuteronomy 21. Okay. Praise you, Lord God. And then you get the people who are for just live for pleasure, just for me. Those pips that go on trips and cars and things. You know people who are always off on some trip? Always off on a new car? Always just on things. Just things. Doing things, having things. The clothes horse. Now you can call that the pride of love, the lust of the eye, you know. She puts these men that's always dressed to the nth degree and got their hair done just right and their tie tied and just look like they've stepped out of the dry cleaners, you know. Change clothes 3 times a day. The clothes horse. You have women clothes horse too, but I like to pick on the men. And they have I think the lady in Manila had what, 2,000 pair of shoes? She had so many pairs of shoes she couldn't. She sat there all week. She couldn't try them all on. But she had those shoes. And that's the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. The pride of life, narcissistic again. Those people search for power, for wealth, and position. That's the pride of life. If you got lots of money, folks aren't going to reject you. If you're the president of the corporation and got authority over people, they won't reject you. If you've got power in their lives, they're not going to reject you. And so that's the pride. So that's turning to the world for love. And obviously, turning to the world and self-gratification will lead you into porneia, sexual immorality. It can lead you into sexual immorality. Those people in power and position will sexually use the people under them. Those people who are the lust of the eye will sexually use the people around them to get their way. The lust of the flesh, same thing. And so porneia goes with all three positions, both as a using people for your pleasure, or they're using you to promote their way. It's all there. When you see someone who's having trouble with sexual sin, always think rejection. Just see how they've been rejected. Now, sexual sin can come in through the fathers, but it will lead you to rejection. If you get into sexual sin, you will set yourself up to be rejected by the people who love you. Philandering husband who's skirt chaser was going to be rejected by his wife, rejected by his children. Praise God, I better let that one pass. Lord. I was just thinking about this person I knew some years ago who was a real close horse. He was very intelligent, had moved himself into a position of power and authority, was a skirt chaser of the first degree. Someone came home, you know, and he was in the bed with his wife, and he jumped up and he managed to grab his undershorts as he got out the window and ran to the police station wearing his undershorts to protect him from the man who was chasing him with a gun. And of course, this got all over town. And the police put him in a squad car in that condition and carried him home to his wife. And then he couldn't understand why. 10 years later, and he never stopped. And his wife put up with him because she wanted to hold the marriage together until she got the kids out of high school. And he could understand why in high school he was having to go pull his daughter out of bed with the young men. His daughter he just couldn't understand, and she eventually left and chased the Grateful Dead and became a camp follower for the Grateful Dead on all kinds of drugs. And his son was had other type of sexual problems. It was a And all, and these sexual demons came in because of the sins of the father. And the rejection of that the children felt. He felt rejected and kept running. And the children felt rejected by him. And they turned into sexual sin, which in turn caused him to reject them. Okay. Now, the last thing is that you can become, another way it can turn is you can become very compliant. And we talked about the super perfect person. The person who will become perfect. And pride, ego, and vanity will come in. And if I can just do everything perfect, then people won't reject me. But in doing so, you become very critical. You become intolerant. You become, you get frustrated when other people can't meet your standard. And you become impatient, and then anger and rage and criticism. When you meet somebody who's super perfectionistic, looking at a rejection person. And the fourth way that it can turn in is fear. A very fearful person. Fear comes in. Now, fear can come in other than being rejected. Fear can come in from a traumatic experience. When I was a little boy, 4 years old, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was watching this beautiful yellow butterfly, and it flew down and landed on the side of the clapboard house on the door frame. And there was a sort of a hole there, and this big black spider jumped out and grabbed him about 18 inches from my face and wrapped him up, you know, and I screamed, and a fear spiders came in me. And if I saw a spider, and went down south, we used to have these big yellow spiders that would be on a web, you know, and about this big, and I can't remember the name of them, but I would see one of those, and it would terrify me so bad that I would walk all the way around the block rather than go near that spider. I'd stop, turn around, and go two blocks out of the way rather than walk past that spider. But it just absolutely terrified me. Oh. And then fear of heights came in. Along with that fear of heights came in. And God delivered me from those. Fear of closed places can come in. Fear of being alone. There's some 120 different types of phobias. Now, phobia in Greek means fear. And fear is very common. Now, free-floating fear, fear that comes on you, that's not attached to anything, is called free-floating anxiety. A panic attack. Any of y'all ever had a panic attack? Suddenly something is terribly wrong. You don't know what it is. Your skin starts to crawl. Your breath comes in fast pants. You begin to look around. Things aren't right. Your skin is crawling and you're just terrified. Now, your body can't tolerate this. And so you will fixate that on something. Spiders, water, closed place, darkness, fear of being alone, fear of going outside. You know, there's some people I know that are so fearful they can't go outside their house. Well, this basic cause is generally rejection. Now, as I said, trauma can bring in fear. But it probably has a basis of rejection also. And you see somebody who's very phobic or somebody who's developing anxiety, acute anxiety attacks, acute panic attacks. This is nothing but fear. A panic attack is nothing but free-floating fear that has not been fixated. A neurotic is somebody who has fixated the fear. Neuroses and psychoneuroses are the people who've been able to fixate the fear. A psychoneurotic is one who's worked it into a pattern. And so fear. Now you got fear of being alone, fear of not being loved. We've talked about fear of not being loved, bringing up the walls of loneliness, of being shy and timid. because you're a loner, because you're afraid that someone's going to hurt you, someone's not going to love you, someone's going to deny you love, and so you bring up the walls and you won't let anybody love you, including God. You just hold yourself aloft. That is a rejected person. And they have to, you have to come against this thing and bind the spirit of fear, bind the spirit of rejection, and ask God to pour His love into them, that they can have a realization of the unconditional love of the Father. The Father loves you unconditionally. Yes. While you were yet a sinner, He loved for you, and He sent His Son to die for you. That's unconditional agape love. And you ask God to pour that out into their heart. And then you said, pour it out through me, because you can't love these people without God. These ain't lovable folks. Only through God can you love them. And you say, God, help me to love them. Pour your love out, Lord. I can't do it. And as you push on that wall on the outside and they pull on the inside, that wall will come down. But it don't come down in a day. It crumbles a little at a time in most cases. Now, sometimes, you know, God can work anything He wants to, you know. He can break it down, demolish it in a day. And that happens. But for most of us, it takes a little longer. And so that's the reason you need accountability groups. Wynn Worley used to say that deliverance was not an event in your life. It's a walk. And the deliverance session is the first step in a walk that will last the rest of your life. To keep sin out of your life. To stay accountable. Not to walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit. And if you sin, if you're conscious, to turn away from it immediately. I'm going to talk about that in another session. It takes too long. I can't get into that right now. But you need to rise at fear. People are afraid. People are afraid to be alone at night. People are afraid of the dark. People are being robbed, molested. Now, some of these fears are natural and real because they're bad folks out there. But, you know, when I leave my house, you know, I don't have any real... You know, I just have a regular old back door and a screen door and a front door and a screen door. But when I walk through it, I say, Lord, You say in Your Word. That's it's Your house, Lord. Everything in it belongs to You. And You say in Your Word that when I go off to the temple, that nobody's going to covet anything in this house. And that when I come home, it's all going to be Him. I thank You for it. I put You in charge of your house. So that's scriptural. That's in the Bible. That when you go to the temple, to the feast, nobody will covet your belongings. They'll be there when you get back.
Thank you.
And when you say that God is my helper, God is my protector, God put the fear of God around me. We held in our church, all the churches in town got held up and beat up and tore up except ours. They beat the front door down and got as far as the office. They tore the office down with a sledgehammer, and they opened the door, and there were all the computers, and there was a cash box and everything, but they didn't come in the door. They left.
Hallelujah.
And everybody, the police was wondering, I said, it ain't hard for me. The fear of God came on them.
Yes.
The fear of the God of Jacob came on them, and they left. And so we put a new door up. They want to know if we ought to take all these cars. I said, man, what we need to do is pray that the fear of the Lord will be in this place. And that's what you need to pray for your house. If the fear of God will be on anybody who would dare to come.
Amen.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't have locks on your doors now. I'm saying if God does not want you to, that, you know, Jesus said, you shall not test the Lord your God. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. That means that you lock your houses and take reasonable precautions. But then you commit it to Him. But you don't need to go spend $5,000 for a security system. Okay, praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. If you see somebody that's desperate fear will make people desperate. Like a drowning person. They just want to hold on to you. You ever had anybody that just attached themselves to you and you're walking and you can't get 3 feet away from them? You go to a meeting someplace and this person that you know very, you know, just sort of casually, and they just attach to you and they just hang on to you like a leash, boy, and you can't get rid of them. I mean, you even go to the bathroom, they'll follow you into the bathroom. These are people who've been rejected and by fear. They're afraid to be alone in that crowd. They're afraid. They're scared. And you need to pray for them. But their basic problem is rejection. Now, you'll find a lot of people, particularly you see it in our culture today, that people will draw attention to themselves. How many of y'all have seen these young kids that got couple of earrings hanging in, one hanging in, a ring through their nose, and God knows where else, and they got them on their nipples, and God only knows where else they've got them. And they got their hair spiked up and purple on one side and blue on the other and red in the back. You know, what they're saying, notice me, I've been rejected. Nobody loves me. Notice me. I've been rejected. Praise you, Lord. They're crying out for help. Now, and so, you see, that is what happens when the spirit of rejection comes into you. And those are the symptoms that you can see. That's the fruit that will grow out in your life. That's some of the fruit that you can see in these people's behavior. Now, what happens when the spirit of rejection, you see, rejection is twofold. I read it to you. It is the act of rejected, rejecting, or being rejected. Now, we've talked about what it's like to be rejected. Now, what it's like when that rejection goes out. There's symptoms. You have rejection in you, then the rejection, there are outward symptoms as well as there are inward symptoms. Now, the most positive, the most noticeable one is rebellion. What did Eve do? She said, the devil said to her, Eve, God doesn't love you. Why, he's withheld his best from you. You know that tree of the good and knowledge. You look at that. That fruit looks good. Look how pretty it looks. And it's going to make you, it's good for knowledge. It's going to make you like God. He don't want you to be as smart as he is. So he said you can't have, he's withheld the best from you. He don't love you. And what did she say? That is, look at that. It does look good. And it is good for knowledge. And so she said, I'm going to have some. She rejected the word of God. She cast it out. And she rejected the word of God. Now, she was deceived. Her husband, Adam, wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. He said, yeah, I'm going to have some too, because he was staring at her right. She didn't, you know, the way I was taught in Sunday school, that she ate the apple and then she went and found Adam and come back on and said, taste this, how good it is. But he was there with her. He didn't say, honey, that serpent's wrong. God loves us, but he joined in his wife in rebellion. It says that in Timothy. And so rebellion is the outward sign. Now, with rebellion goes irrational anger. You ever have people just get angry for no reason at all? Lack of self-control. They just don't have any self-control. With that goes drugs. Anger, rage, falling into idolatry, gluttony, all those things we talked about on the other side. Porneo, falling into sexual sin, being a glutton, are all symptoms of rejection, of the outward manifestation of rejection. And quite often you have irrational anger. When you have somebody that's just mad and angry, know that they've been rejected. That's the root of it. Now, you have to go back into it and move past the anger and rebellion. Now, what does it say in 1 Samuel 15? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You remember that? And stubbornness is an iniquity unto idolatry. Okay. Now, we said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is witchcraft. Now, what is witchcraft? Witchcraft is, according to Webster's New International Dictionary, witchcraft is the division of magic. And magic is the attempt to control natural events by supernatural means. To control natural events, people, and natural events by supernatural means. Now, that's divided into witchcraft and sorcery and divination. But we just look at witchcraft. And witchcraft is the attempt to control people or events by contact, compact with demons. Read it. It's in the Webster's New International Dictionary under magic. Yes. On the Collegiate Dictionary, I think it is. This one Glenn sold me here 20 years ago. Now, control people. Now, Derek Prince says, witchcraft is divided into intimidation, manipulation, which result in domination. Men tend, being larger, tend to intimidate. Women, being smaller, tend to manipulate. But the end result is the same, it's domination. When you find someone who's trying to dominate you, manipulate you, and dominate you by fear, by circumstances, by lust, by money, power, position, you've got witchcraft. I remember one man that I was praying for, and he was about, I had to stand up like this to anoint him. And he was about this broad. And I was casting witchcraft out of him. And I said, you know, as big as you are, just your sheer size intimidates people. All you've got to do is act like you're angry. What he wanted was he wanted prayer for his anger. And I told him that if he wanted to get rid of the anger, he had to stop using anger to intimidate people to get his way. He said, you know, you're right. But that man was using witchcraft. Just because he was big, he would just get angry. He said, oh, God, don't get him angry. You don't know what he's liable to. Somebody that big, man, you better have an elephant gun if you're going to get him angry. So those of you who are large, need to remember, do you use your anger to intimidate your wife, your coworkers, people around you? You use anger, get angry, and draw up and they say, okay, now don't get angry. And they will give in because they're scared. There's fear. See, they've been rejected and they don't want to get hurt. So witchcraft is a result of anger. Now, if we look at rebellion, the same Hebrew word for rebellion, that word I just quoted you in 1 Samuel, if you pull your Strong's Concordance, you'll find out the other interpretation of it is bitterness. It comes from the root word marah. You remember? The springs of marah, the water of marah was so bitter they couldn't drink it. And they called it marah because it was bitter. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant sign. She said, call me Mary, which means the Lord had dealt bitterly with me. Marah, again. And so, if you rebel, you'll become bitter. If you live in rebellion, you will become bitter. If you stay bitter, you will rebel. Now we said that pride, ego, and vanity will come into the perfectionist. But you know what feeds rebellion and stubbornness? Pride. Nehemiah said, because of your stiff neck and stubborn pride, you have been rebellious. It's in Nehemiah chapter 5, I think. And so you've got stubbornness and pride over here that's come over from the other side, and it's feeding stubborn self-will. I'm going to have my way. I'm going to manipulate them. I'm going to get... They're going to do it my way. I'm going to figure it out. You've got stubborn self-will. Stubbornness. Praise your Lord God. Praise your Lord Jesus. And then you got unteachability. You ever try to teach somebody who's stubborn? You know what they said about the spirit of pride? Pride. Proverbs says, scoffer is his name. And read what they say about the scoffer. You can't teach the scoffer anything. The scoffer will not receive correction. The waffle will not receive knowledge. The scoffer will not receive from you. A proud person is a scoffer. You ever anybody scoff and laugh at you? These people become experts at laughing at you. At having just the right word to say to tear you down. Scoffing at you. Sarcasm. Somebody that's really sarcastic and critical and scoffing and doubting. You're talking about a rejected person. And then a scoffer will deceive himself. And so they become unteachable. They become self-deceiving, unteachable. And this is bad when it goes with a Jezebel spirit, either a man or a female, or a religious spirit. You get rejected people who are looking for love, and the spirit of another Jesus comes into them. A religious spirit comes in, a Pharisee spirit, that you're going to keep the law just right. How many super Christians you know? They just do everything just right. And, oh, look at that one. Oh, he's in. And the love of God is so far from them, you never see any fruit of love coming out. All you see is criticism and tearing down other people. They got a Pharisee spirit in them. And you try to pray for them. Pray for that chair. I mean, they are deceived. The worst people in the world to pray for, the hardest people I know of to pray for, are people who have religious spirits that have deceived them. It says in the latter days, deceiving spirits will come in and deceive many. Having their conscience branded with a sieve, with a hot iron. And they sear their conscience so that they don't feel any wrong. And they can do all this criticism, be critical as they criticize people and so forth. And so, you have the religious spirit come in, and these people, you have to pray and ask God to touch them. All you can do for them is pray for them. And just keep praying for them. And how do you pray for them? Do you pray for them? Oh, God, you know how deceived they are. You know how far from you they are. You know they aren't saved, God. Oh, God, look at all these terrible things they've done, Lord. You don't pray for them that way. The devil's already doing that for you. He's accusing them more uncomplimentary than you'll ever be able to. He's an expert. He's been doing it for thousands of years. What do? You look at them and you start asking God to bless them. And you think of the good things they've done. And you find all the good points you can pray for. And you thank God for them. And you ask God to bless them. And just bless them, Lord. Bless them. And as you begin to pray for them, you will see them change. Now, they will come to a point that God will quicken their conscience.
and they will see the truth. At that point, they have to accept it. Now, we had this one lady who had this bad Jezebel spirit. She had a religious spirit. The spirit had begun talking to her and told her she was a prophet and she no longer could hear the Holy Spirit. And she listened to this religious spirit. And I told her what was going on. We had a council. She was the prophetess in her church, unquote. And we had I met with their church council and their leaders, and we met with her, and we prayed for her, and we showed her, and God touched her, and she began to weep, and she began to weep, and she began to see it, and she wanted to repent and turn away from it, and she wanted to confess it to the church body, because, you know, your confession should be as wide as your ministry. And that was on a Friday night, and she drove home. And on the way home, and the next day, that demon said, "You're going to lose your ministry. You're not going to be the prophet anymore. Yeah, they put witchcraft on you. You know I'm the Holy Spirit." And I won't tell you what she called me. But she eventually left the church. And she has been in the insane asylum a couple of times, or the mental hospital a couple of times. She's been through one episode of cancer. You know, the devil treats his folks real bad. And it's sad. Her children, bad. I just weep for her. I still pray for her. I just weep for her. But you see, God touched her. But she had to come out. God won't put a hook in your nose and pull you out. Some people just decide they like living there. They're so narcissistic, or they're not willing to pay the price. Christianity has a price. They were not willing to pay the price, to give up the praise of men. Remember, they'd rather have the praise of men than the praise of God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's see. Well, your stubborn self-will, selfishness, stubbornness leads to self-deception, delusion, and seduction. Your bitterness will come down and grow out. Your root of bitterness will grow. And Hebrews, it says, will be defiled as the root of bitterness grows down. And on one side of the root of bitterness, you'll have resentment, unforgiveness, anger, and retaliation. As long as he can keep you in unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness is a spirit. You don't forgive, God won't forgive. That's what he says in the Bible. I can show it to you in four different places in the New Testament. It's flat out. If you won't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you, but I'm going to turn you over to tormentors.
Yeah, you will.
Now, I've had liberal preachers rationalize those verses and say, well, you got to understand why that was written. Said, yeah, it was written. I can read plain English, thank you. But and on the other side, it will cause you to have hate, violence, and murder. And so you have somebody that hates somebody, just hates them, or angry with them, or want to murder them. You know, you've got a rejected person. So these are the fruits of rejection. I can give you scripture for every one of these, but if I'd started that, we'd had to not start till about 8 o'clock tonight. I got 4 or 5 pages of scripture there in my notebook on it. I say to you this: rejection is a terrible spirit. Everybody in this room has been rejected at one time or another. Nobody escapes rejection. I want you to see that it causes all kind of fruit to come out in your life. You need to look at what we've talked about today and say, do I have that in my life? And if you do, I want to get rid of rejection. I want rejection out of my life. I don't want rejection. I don't want fear, distrust, and jealousy in my life. There's a lot more I could talk about, but it's time to quit. It's time to pray. We're going to take about a 2 minute, about a 5 minute break. Anybody wants to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, need to get up and stretch a little bit. We've been talking an hour and a half. It says that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. So everybody get up and stretch a little bit, get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, and we'll come back at a quarter of five. Is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. He was raised from the dead for my justification. He sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of the living God. I have been adopted into the family of God. I am accepted in the beloved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I repent of all the sins of my ancestors. In the name of Jesus, I repent of witchcraft, of divination, whoredom, incest, illegitimacy, fornication, vagabond, returning evil for good, and all other symptoms, and all other curses, curse of poverty. I break all these curses back 10 generations on me and my lineal descendants forever, because Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Lord Jesus, I confess that in the past, certain people have irritated me. I forgive them. I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me, stolen from me, used me, or abused me in any way. Now, we'll wait just a minute. If the Holy Spirit brings anybody to mind that you need to forgive, say, I forgive. And just, I forgive Johnny, Jean, Joe, and so forth. Just say, I ask you to bless them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Bring them to salvation. I break any ungodly soul ties with anyone who's ever dominated me or control me in any way contrary to the will of God. I break all ungodly soul ties to my mother, to my father, to my grandparents, to my wives, my ex-wives, and anybody else. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. You say in your word, Lord, whatever we bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. I loose myself from all these ungodly ties. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I break all curses spoken against me. In the name of Jesus. Your word says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, I shall refute and refuse. This is the heritage of the children of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord
Jesus. You know the thing.
That's
binding me.
That
torments me.
That
terrible spirit.
Of rejection.
And its fruits.
Lord Jesus.
I bind these spirits now.
And
I cast them out.
In your name.
For it is written.
Anyone.
Calls upon the name of the Lord.
Shall be delivered.
Joel
2:32.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I turn to you
as my healer
and my deliverer.
Your word says,
by your stripes,
I have been healed.
I claim healing
in the name of Jesus.
By your stripes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Everybody sit down.
Thank you.
Now we're going to have what's called a mass deliverance service.
Thank you.
Have any of y'all never been in a master? Has anybody in here ever been in a mass deliverance service before? Okay. Those who haven't, spirits are wind. The Hebrew word for spirit is wind, breath, pneuma, like a pneumatic tire. It's air, wind, breath, and they generally come out through the breathing passages. They come out just as a sigh. They come out as a deep breath, sometimes as a cough, and sometimes as a scream. Just relax and let what happens happen. Now, I'm going to call these spirits out. I want you to agree with me. In your mind. Don't pray in tongues. They won't come out while you're praying in tongues. Just hear me and agree. Come out in the name of Jesus. If you're there, get out of me. And it's like having a baby. You got to push it out. It's not a passive. You've got to be actively involved and you've got to push it out. I don't want it in me. Okay? And so push these things out. And just let what happens happen. Okay. Don't suppress it. Don't worry about what people think. I threw up right over there, and it threw me down in the floor, and I rolled in my own vomit. And somebody came over and had pity on me and prayed for me. But I got free.
Amen.
And that's what you want. You want to get free. Don't worry about your dignity. You got to choose between your dignity and your demons. You can get your dignity back, but let your demons go. If you want to hold on to them, you can. Jesus Christ will not deliver you from your friends, only from your enemies. You want to get rid of them? Push them out. You want to keep them? Just sit there and say, I'm not going to do that. They're going to make no fool out of me. You get to keep them. And they just laugh at you. I once had a lady that I prayed for cancer, and I said to her, I told her that I pray a little differently for cancer. Honey, I know cancer to be a demon. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to bind this thing, and I'm going to command it to come out of you. And I prayed for it. I felt the spirit move, and I said, anything happen? No. And about 6 months later, she came back to see me, want me to pray again. And she said, when you prayed for me the first time, this big worm crawled up on my stomach and he was just sitting there looking at me. And you asked if anything happened. And I was ashamed to admit in front of my husband and all those people there that there was this big worm sitting on my stomach. So I said no. And he went back in. He said, my daughter had a vision the other night of this thing inside me eating me up. And she described that worm I saw. I want you to cast it out of me. And so I prayed for her and all of her unbelieving relatives came around and talked her out of it. So, don't worry about what people think. Get rid of your demons. And get your dignity back. Okay. Praise your Lord. We ain't got no unbelievers in here, I hope. I hope everybody here say, Lord Jesus, bless them. The reason that I lead you in a confession of faith is
Jesus Christ honors the gospel. And I lead everybody in a confession of faith. You know, it's just sort of like the Apostles' Creed. If you get down to it, just look at it. The one thing a demon won't do is confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Okay. Praise the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you now. I bind the spirits of rejection in these people in the name of Jesus. I say that these are not rejected people. These are children of God. They've been accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. They've been accepted in the Beloved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of rejection in Jesus' name, and I break its power. Come out of there, rejection, in the name of you. Come on out, rejection. You can't have God's people. I bind you. You got no legal right there. Their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, these bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They were bought with a price, and the price was not corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish. So come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind your rejection. Come out of there, rejection, in the name of Jesus. Come out, denial of love, in the name of Jesus. Come out, love. Come out, fear of not being loved, fear of being rejected, fear of not being wanted. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. All of you come out of there in the name of Jesus. All fear, 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 fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough, fear of mocha gobo, all around fear in the name of Jesus. All fear, free-floating fear, anxiety, neuroses. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and command you to come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. And I command you to leave God's people in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. Come out of there. Come on out. Out, you uncircumcised Philistine devils. How dare you defy the armies of the living God? I bind you and I break your power and I say, come out in Jesus' name. You got no right in God's children. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, lust, lust, lust. Come out of there, lust, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, lust, in the name of Jesus. Come out, self-accusation. Come out in the name of Jesus. Accusation, self-accusation. Come out, self-confortion, compulsive confortion. Come out, come out, come out, in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Touch your people now, Lord God. Let your spirit come down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit come down on them. We bind these spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, inferiority. Come out, timidity and inferiority in the name of Jesus. Inferior in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Break your power. Come out, inferior spirits. Come out, timid spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Perfectionistic spirits. Spirits of perfection. Come out. Intolerance, aggression, criticism. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All critical spirits, intolerant spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. All perfectionistic spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Intolerance, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, anger and rage and hostility. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of depression, suicide in the name of Jesus, of heaviness, depression, suicide, and unworthiness in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I bind you in Jesus' name and command you to be gone. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of rebellion now. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I bind all the witchcraft. I bind all the Jezebel spirits. All the witchcraft spirits. All the divination spirits. Spirit of divination, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Spirits of divination in the name of Jesus. Spirits of idolatry and divination. Divination, come out. Come out, divination. I bind us, break the curse of the card layer in the name of Jesus. I break the curses of idolatry, the curses of divination in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of divination, of the Ouija board, of the card layer. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of
of rebellion and witchcraft and bitterness in the name of Jesus. Come out, bitterness, anger, rage, and unforgiveness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Murder, anger, hostility. Come out in the name of Jesus. Anger and rage, come out. I bind the spirits of jealousy and mistrust in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of schizophrenia. Schizophrenia. You can't have God's people. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. I bind this, I break the curses of the hoodoo and the voodoo in the name of Jesus. I break the spirits of bondage. Bondage to spirit. Bondage to witchcraft in the name of Jesus. Bondage spirits, come out. Come out, bondage. Come out of there in the name of Jesus, bondage. We break your power of bondage. Come out. 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 Bondage. Bondage to cigarettes. Bondage to food. Come out. Bondage to addictions, come out in the name of Jesus. Bondage, gluttony, come out in the name of Jesus. Stubborn spirits, come out. Spirits of stubbornness, come out. Stubborn pride, spirit of haughtiness, spirit of the mocker, spirit of the sort of scoffer, come out. Scoffing spirits, mocking spirits, critical spirits, come out. I bind the spirits of the Pharisee spirits, the spirits of Pharisee, come out. The religious spirits, the other Jesus spirits, come out. All deceiving spirits, I bind the spirits of deception, of religious deception, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of the deceiving spirits, the paranoid spirits, the spirits of paranoia, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of the water. The fear of disease. Fear of death. Fear of God. Ungodly fear of God. The name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all fear. 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 We break you. Lord Jesus, let your spirit come down now, Lord. Let your spirit come down. Praise you. Let your spirit come down now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let your spirits come down now, Lord. Fill them. Just fill them, Lord. Fill them. I bind all the spirits. By his stripes you have been healed. By his stripes you have been healed. I bind these spirits now. I bind the spirits of headaches. I bind the spirits of headaches. I bind the spirits of Meniere syndrome. I bind the spirits of dizziness and Meniere syndrome. I bind the spirits of deafness. I bind the deaf demon. I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of tinnitus, ringing in the ears. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all the spirits of encephalitis, encephalopathy in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of multiple sclerosis in the name of Jesus. Encephalomalacia, I bind you and command you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of blindness, of optitis in the name of Jesus, of optic atrophy in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all the spirits of blindness, of cataracts in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of glaucoma in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out! Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of sinusitis. I break the curse of allergies now in the name of Jesus. I speak to allergies. I speak to hay fever. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break that curse in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. Allergies, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, hay fever. Come out, sinus problems in the name of Jesus. Come out, asthma. I break this curse of bronchospastic reactive airway disease. I break its power in the name of Jesus. I say, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. I speak to emphysema. I speak to bronchiectasis. I break the pneumonia. I speak to pneumonitis in the name of Jesus. I speak to pleuritis in the name of Jesus. I bind them in Jesus' name and I say, out of the people's lungs in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out! I speak to heart trouble. I speak to weak heart. I speak to heart dropsy, heart failure. Come out! I speak to congested hearts. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out! I speak strength to their heart in the name of Jesus. I speak to heart attacks. I bind the heart attack. I bind myocardial infarction in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind strokes in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind heart attacks. I say, come out! And I speak healing to God's people. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind toothaches in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind gingivitis in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind pyorrhea in the name of Jesus. I bind tooth root canals in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people. Caris truth, come out. All infection, come out of the teeth.
Lord, send, oh, Lord Jesus, I ask for caps. I ask you, Lord, to cap all, put your caps, Lord, on all the infected teeth. Send the caps, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord. I ask you to touch the people's teeth now. Restore the teeth. Restore the teeth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Restore the teeth, Lord. Fill the teeth, Lord God. Put caps on them, Lord God. You do it, Lord God. When you do it, it's perfect, Lord. In the name of Jesus, so they'll know you've been there. In the name of Jesus, for your glory. For your glory, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I bind the spirits of acid reflux, esophageal reflux now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of duodenal ulcers and carditis and gastritis and duodenitis and Crohn's disease. I bind and break the power of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis in the name of Jesus and nephritis and hepatitis in Jesus' name. Come out, hepatitis. Come out, Crohn's disease. I bind the spirits of cystitis and prostatitis and urethritis in the name of Jesus, and menorrhagia and menorrhina in the name of Jesus, endometriosis in the name of Jesus. I break the power of these things, and I speak healing by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.